Christopher Akrig in the house on a podcast. I'm excited about this, Christopher. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm pretty good, actually.
It's weird to ask you how you are when we've actually been sat here together for about 2 hours.
You know exactly who I am. I'm tired.
You're very well. You're tired. You've got up very early.
I did, yes.
Oh, dear.
And I didn't need to, but anyway.
Never. You did. Well, you did because you yeah. needed to be here prepared.
Yeah. And I feel better for being here. It's always good to be early.
Yeah, it is always good to be early. Are you someone who wants to be early or late to things?
Oh, early.
Always early.
Yeah.
Let me start, because for people who are watching or listening who don't know who I'm talking to, this is Christopher Akrig, pro GT rider, multiple British trials champion, back in the day where there was proper competition, I might add.
proper competition. Yeah, I suppose.
That was stretching it a bit. And a general all-round, you're like a mountain bike all-rounder these days. You were a trials rider back in the day, but now you're like a proper legit mountain biker. You do everything.
I try to keep it, yeah. And I think, obviously back in the day, I was like, you know, full trials rider, didn't want to do anything else. Mm. And then like going forward from that, you know, I got onto like Mongoose and they had a bike to ride everything. Got into like, you know, done a bit of racing, a downhill, fixies. Mm.
Fixies? I forgot about the fixies. Yeah. Oh my God, yeah, you were a fixie rider.
Yeah, I did fixies. When...
You weren't just a fixie rider, you were the fixie rider.
Oh, I wouldn't go sad.
No, you were. Back in the day, this is something everyone should check out on YouTube.
It's probably somewhere on there.
You were like the guy that all the fixie guys were like, we want to be like, see what you can do with them. And then they had a go and were like, oh no, we can't do that.
Yeah, it was funny that, because like... Nick Larson's like, oh,
I've forgot on that.
he sent me like a fixie, and I'm just like, what am I supposed to do? Like, he's like, I just go and do a video on it. So yeah. I just like jumped on it. I'm just like, this is pretty wacky when you first jump on one.
Yeah.
And then you just start like, obviously, like my brain works like, right, okay, so I just do Chris Akrig stuff on it because that's what I am.
Because there is, that's, I mean, that's something you should be so proud of, I think, is that there is a, I've seen it like you say Akrig, I say Akrig, I say it correctly.
Yeah.
Chris Akrig, you've got like a Chris Akrig style, like you've got a way of doing it.
It's pretty funny, somebody sent me like a request to do like a little post over there, and they were like saying, oh, can you just like do a turn, like get a little video for us, and like, you just do as a turn or something like that, or just do a Chris Akrig thing. I'm just like, I'll probably just do a Chris Akrig thing because that's who I am.
Yeah, it's hard.
It'll be
not
easier
to.
For me to
it's
do
It's hard
that.
Not to. I mean, if they said ride like me, you wouldn't be able to do it. Don't say you wouldn't want to.
It's what I was thinking. I'm not going to lie.
Well, that's unkind. I forgot about the fixie thing. How do you define yourself as a rider then? Like as... Or do you?
I try not to. I guess it's hardest when people say, oh, what do you do? Like, and it's like, you know, that's the one that comes up. It's like, what do you do then? I'm just like, it's just such a boring answer, but I just sort of like have to say, well, I ride bikes, but
yeah,
on the sort of like on the technical side of riding bikes.
Yeah, because I can imagine you trying to explain it to someone and making an absolute hash of it.
I can ride a bike, I can't explain what I do.
No one can explain it. I can't explain. I've said to some people in the past, I've been riding with you and you've ridden up a rock in a certain way, like we're all like three or four of us, and we're all trying to get up a rock, and then you ride up it a certain way, and I'm like, man, how did you do that? And you go, I don't know. Yeah, I'm like, do it again, and you're like, I can't.
No, that is a thing. I can do something the first time, and then literally go back to it and just think,
I can't remember what I did.
I can't remember what I did there.
Which is weird, right?
That's why I don't go back to lit fireworks.
Because most of us normal bike riders, we will like work out a way to do something, whether it's a turn or a bit of a climb or if it's trial stuff. We work out what gear we want to be in, the line we want to choose. You know, I mean, sometimes tyre pressure and tyres, all sorts of things to try and work out how to do something.
Yeah.
Whereas, I mean, you are very particular about how you set your bikes up, but... Does it start there, that you set the bike up a certain way and then that's how you're riding everything?
No, it's one of them things, I think if you tried to, I don't know. I'm more aware of how my bike's set up now than I ever was, because I'd normally just jump on a suspension bike back in the day, turn everything up, turn everything off, you know, like, and try to make it handle like a trials bike.
Yeah, yeah.
But now I've gone sort of completely opposite, where And now, like, I like to have active suspension.
Yeah.
You know, and especially on my e-bike, it is so soft. I set my bike up so soft.
Yeah.
You know, like, but it's just how I like to ride it. Obviously, on my normal bikes, they're a little bit. It's a difference. The different setup.
I can tell you. I don't think you'll remember this, but I can tell you a way that you think about the setup of bikes. Different to a lot of people, is we were at the start of a trial once in Spain, and it was getting close to either the start of the chance to go and practice on the rocks, or it was the moment where the trial actually started. And everyone was doing that last minute thing of, they don't do it these days, but we were filing our pedals.
Yeah.
And we were like... You're like filing little points out of your pedals, and you came over and went, "Can I borrow the file?" And it wasn't my file, it was someone else. And you were like, and you put the pedal flat and just went over the top of it, flat, like everyone else was doing points, yeah. And you did it flat.
Yeah.
And I was like, "Why are you doing like that?" And you were like, "Well, that's 2 points. That's I've got twice as many points now. I did it in no time." I didn't do lots of this, and now I've got, for every bump on my pedal, I've got 2 sharp points, and everyone else has got 1.
Yeah.
And I was like, fuck, and I got the file, I was like, I do it like Chris. But you're very, like, you don't advertise you're doing it in a certain way, but you are doing a lot of things very different to everyone else who's doing it.
I think, I don't really, like, people probably examine or sort of deconstruct my riding more than I do. Like, for instance, like if I'm doing some filming, like Will Evans, who I film with quite a lot, he's an interesting character, he's a clever guy,
yeah.
You know? And if I'm trying something, and I'll be getting close or whatever, and, you know, I've been, basically get to that point where you're like, you know, am I just mental? Is this going to actually work the way I want it in my head? And Will will start, like, putting suggestions in, like, tire pressure or, you know, try it in a different gear. And I'll just be like, you stay at that side of the camera, you know, and I'll do this bit, you know, like, and then you'll just think, maybe I'll give it a go, you know, just to rule it out. And you'll do it and you just think, actually, that actually could work. You just think, and I don't want to say it, obviously,
yeah,
you know,
what?
And I'll just change gear back and pretend that I just, you know, but yeah, I mean, maybe I don't, I think once I've started, once my bike's set, once I've started something, it's very, very rare that I'll start thinking, "Ah, I must be in the wrong gear, or I need to start messing around with my bike to, you know, change it." There has been a couple of times where I'm just thinking, especially for like drops or like if I'm trying to like stick the back wheel into something and it's just bouncing off, I'll just maybe just give it a couple of clicks and that's just because now it's probably because I'm like on EXT and, you know, like. It's a big benefit for me now, having that sort of, like, you know, somebody that I can actually talk to and just go, this is happening, what do I do, you know, like, can you just, where should I be, you know?
And
I've got that. So I think I've probably got a bit more of an understanding of what things do, whereas before, it just fucking didn't care, you know?
Just gone with it, yeah.
Yeah. I remember Geoff coming over to me at a downhill race, and I just, like, my bike was there, and he got it, and he put the suspension down. And he put his finger on the tyre and it's just like, what are you doing? It's just like, I must have had like 50 PSI, you know, thinking like, this is what you do. 50 PSI in a spike tyre. And he's like, I think you would be like running. I don't even know what it is. Like 20, is it 20, something like that? I don't know. Somebody says
I think it's like 25 in the
whatever
front and a bit I had less
twice
in the
as
back.
Much.
Or is it more in the back and less in the front?
Less in the front.
Like I had twice as much as I should have
had. See, on motorbike trials, it's the other way round.
Yeah.
You have like less in the back. I always think, if anyone says tyre pressure to me, I'm like 7 and 3.
I know my motorbike.
Motorbike trials is 7 and 3, or always was. For me, anyway.
4 back for me.
I'd go 3, man. But 4. I ride where it's really hard. It's not like Yorkshire, it's all smooth rocks and that.
Oh my God.
That was the biggest stretch of untruth that you've ever heard. I'm gonna get onto the Yorkshire thing in a minute, actually. Yeah. I wanna make a Let me make sure I come back to that. Do you think riding, you ride different, and you're sort of proud of it. You like the way you ride. Do you think that's like almost like protecting yourself a bit, of like being like, you've got to be, your nature is just to be a bit different?
I never really thought of it like that. I mean, I do. I like.
You know, you're odd, right?
I have been told. Yeah. And the more they get told,
about you, people don't know they're odd. So
you just have to start believing it after so many people have told you, I suppose.
People have said
one
it.
One of my friends actually did say once, it's like, you are weird, you know. And I'm just I don't think I am. But then I guess you don't.
That's what a weird person would say, though, Chris, isn't it?
Fucking weirdo.
It's exactly what a weird person would say. Saying.
No, I like doing stuff that maybe people don't see. Mm. I think that's, and it may be only.
I've always seen you as a bit of a tortured soul. A bit like the writings and expression.
We're really going for it, aren't we?
Well, no, but I was actually saying this to Anna upstairs a minute ago. I was like, I think your writing has got, like, you've got to get something out through your writing. You know, like, you're sort of a, you have got, we'll get to it, you've got an aggressive nature, which can be quite funny. But you do have to get, sometimes a really great clean can get something out of you, but then also when you have a five, there's obviously something there you've got to release as well.
Yeah.
So maybe I'm being a bit psychological, but I don't know. But
yeah, I think I'm not as young as I once was, and I think when I was younger, yeah, definitely, I was a bit of a psycho. Like, but I think that was just you're bothered about something, aren't you?
Yeah.
So you've got, if you're not getting emotional, but do you know what I mean? If you're not feeling any emotions from it, or it's not doing anything to you, then why are you doing it? You know, like, I get involved in, especially, I mean, not really, like, filming is like competition now for me. Mm. Whereas competition, when I used to ride competition, you know, I'd get frustrated because I wanted to win.
Yeah.
So you get frustrated that you couldn't do stuff, or, you know, you'd get angry. Because you wanted to win so much.
Yeah.
But then when that died in competition, I didn't... Like, you know, I'd go to an event and just not really bothered. You know, I'd be just like, oh, do you know what? I'm not bothered about winning. Yeah. I'm not bothered about this. So once, you know, but that now, I feel like that when I film, especially when it gets to things like, you know, you're doing things a million times.
Yeah.
Not a million, but it does get pretty high sometimes. You know, you're trying something that nobody else will really know, but you've started it. Like I said, like Will before, like Will will say, yeah, we've got it, sound, move on. And I'm just like,
nah.
That was it, but it's not it.
No, right.
So, yeah, I mean, I do get frustrated, and it can get pretty crazy. But that's just like frustration that you can't do something.
Yeah.
But that's because I want to do it.
So you have a temper?
You want to try it?
I don't, no, I don't. So, to describe your temper for everyone who hasn't witnessed it, I was riding in a competition with you once, and you were riding typically ahead of me because you like to race off.
Yeah.
And you obviously had a five or something up ahead. and then I rode that section. I don't remember what I got, but it was probably better than you. And then on the way to the next section, there was quite a gap. Right, but you obviously knew I'd got a better mark because I come round a corner between the two sections and you had your front wheel and you were just smashing it against a rock. not like the rim of it, you were just smashing your bike to pieces. And I was like, this kid is nuts. Do you remember that? I was in Bovey Tracy. I guess you'd bent the wheel and then you were trying to straighten it and then you just got more and more angry. But you went and got another wheel,
I think. No, I thought you must be talking about another time, but that probably, I know exactly. No,
I don't think it's the only time you've ever done it, unfortunately.
No, there was another time that I did it. That was at Anningham Moorside. And I threw my bike that badly that when I went to pick it up, my wheels were just like totally gone. Like, you know when they ping, they went that bad. And I'm like,
that's embarrassing.
It's really embarrassing because I didn't have any spares with me that day at all, nothing. And I was like, put it across two rocks and I was like stamping on the hub and got it running true enough. This was like the second section of, like, you know,
of a
British Championship round. Yeah. I probably won it though, but anyway.
Was I there? My biggest pride in life is that I got to battle with you. Brilliant times.
They were good times,
man. They were really good. You're a bit too good though, it was annoying. I tell you what, I can think of another time. This would have been the first time I ever saw you riding. So you travelled down to Essex and you were you were in full Monty regalia, which back then, right, was quite the get-up. But you're obviously sponsored by Monty. The Rathmores had got behind you, an importer up north, and you'd come down to Essex to where the great hub, for some reason, the hub of trials was in Essex.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Quite bizarre.
I basically saw you in the elite section, and I thought, there's another kid riding elites there. The trial had started. But it was a section where they put logs along a little channel.
Another one.
And you'd fived it. And then to make sure no one else could do it, you basically chopped through the wood with your bike, going swearing and all sorts.
Yeah.
And I thought, and you'd gone really red in the face, and I was like,
I snapped it.
Snapped the log. Yeah. It made the section impossible to clean. And I was like, wow, that kid's gnarly. But I don't think you had that great a day because you were probably bored of riding Essex. And then it wasn't until later on you were sort of like a more common face on the scene. But
yeah. That would have been probably one of my...
But the temper's there, isn't it? It is there.
Yeah, it's not now. That's a long time ago, is that? I'm not like that now. I don't throw bikes or anything. I really don't.
No, but we talked about that before we started the podcast, and that's because you ride e-bikes and they're too heavy. You would throw them. You just can no longer lift them. It's different.
No, I haven't thrown a bike for a long time. I can actually remember the last time I threw a bike, and that was... probably about 4 or 5 years ago.
I've always thought throwing your bike is a terrible thing to do.
It is absolutely horrendous. I don't do that.
You don't condone it?
No.
Don't think you should throw your bike.
No. I'm opposite. I absolutely love my bikes.
Yeah.
I really love them. Like, and all joking aside. Mm. Like, and I think it is...
Well, like I said, you really set your bikes up nice.
Yeah,
to get them real set.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, look after my bikes. Mm. I do you know what? Sometimes, like... to the point where I'll be doing something and I wouldn't really call it a bike wreck, do you know what I mean? But some of the, like, filming is hard on bikes.
Yeah,
people realise, like, you know, they get used. It's a tool. It's not like, you know, they do get used because you're just doing something hard, repetitive amount of times.
Mm.
And then sometimes you just find something which will just have something about it that will hit a mech.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just got to really... hit stuff hard to make things stop.
Yeah.
So if that's like a really hard hit on the back wheel where you're going to have to, you're just having to have heavy landings, you know, and it's, you know, or you just fall off, you know, and you get back to your bike and it's just like, you know, like I hate it. I hate damaging my bike.
Yeah.
So, and I think now it's just more like you just get frustrated. Like, I just get frustrated, but it wouldn't go any further than that.
And you're a proper like back of house shop mechanic at heart.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah. Yeah.
You were like at Air Valley you were doing that for a long time. So you were working as a like proper.
I think I turned, properly pro for Mongoose when I was 28 or 29.
Mm.
And I was working in the shop since I was 15.
Really? That
so,
long?
Yeah, so
bloody,
I started working at the shop at 15.
Yeah.
And then, so it was like 15 years of bike mechanic. So I can do bits.
You can do a few bits.
I can build a bike.
You can true a wheel.
I can true a wheel.
You can true a wheel. You sure can. What riders do you look at then for like inspiration? I'm looking forward to the answer to this. This is funny. I can't even think. I can't even imagine who you would even say. Who do you look at and go, yeah, nice. I'm going to do. Who are you looking up to? Who's inspiring you?
It's never been really that. I've never really. It sounds ridiculous, but I don't. It should be a simple answer, that, I guess, but I don't.
I think for most people it would be, but I thought it would be troubling for you.
There's obvious ones, isn't there? But then...
Mm.
Are there?
I don't know.
Well, I mean, no, like, I mean, there's obviously people at the top of the game doing amazing stuff, but it's not what really sometimes flicks my switch.
Yeah.
Like, if I see... I don't know, sometimes I even, like, just... I just follow, like, random stuff.
Yeah.
So you just every now and again you'll just see some do something nice.
Mm.
It's not like, you see the things that like million back up, you know, like spins round and all that stuff. It's amazing.
Mm.
It's like what trials is now. It's
yeah.
like it's amazing, like what they're doing. Mm. It's amazing, but it doesn't do anything for me. Do you know what I mean? I can see it from a technical point of view. That is amazing.
Mm.
But like I think I'm more, I don't know. Maybe I just like more subtle.
Mm.
Elements like nicer lines or
yeah.
that type of thing. Like skateboarding, like, but like is watching it... skateboarding stuff, because that's always like, it always has caused like,
that's some quite people interesting. Because that's quite... what I was about to say. Is like, are the riders even, I think most people would think you'd be looking to some maybe other trialsy edit type riders, or I would be thinking, oh, maybe you'd be looking at someone, maybe still within mountain biking, but I don't know, Brandon Semenek or something like that, or I don't know, but because
well, yeah.
it's just yeah. glorious to watch.
No, but the thing is, he's just, yeah, he's definitely there because
he's got a little bit of what I think you've got, is that he'll do something
he's just got style,
and you go, oh god,
yeah, he does make you do that.
So that's where I would see.
But he's got everything, hasn't he? He's got the magnitude, but then he's got like just little subtle things that he just throws, and you just think, that's because nice. He's just he's playing with it.
Yeah,
you know, and he just does something. You just think, oh yeah,
yeah,
that's nice.
Yeah, that, I thought you'd see something in him.
Yeah.
And I think it's quite easy to watch a Brandon Semenek video, and a lot of people maybe miss the difference to someone else doing a, like Brett Reader can do an edit, and he's incredible.
Yeah.
But somehow, Brandon Semenek will do something that's just a little bit like, oh, that just made it so.
It's just
much
that little
better.
Bit of body language, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's body language, just them little tweaks just in there that are just
really nice.
Yeah.
But I'm guessing, so you're not like looking at, you're not watching, I don't know.
Old videos of you?
You're not? That doesn't make any sense.
Nah, my VHS is gone.
That was harsh, Chris. That was harsh. Ouch. You know you're old when your best work has been uploaded from VHS to DVD.
Yeah. It was pretty funny when I did like... that big video with Victor, like, you know, going back through a lot of videos and stuff, and
I had like, to, they were shit.
Yeah, yeah. I went through, like, I think it was roughly 100 mini DV tapes.
Oh, God.
And like,
yeah.
But there's no quick way of doing that, is there? Like,
no.
You just got. I think I can't remember. Was I injured? I think I might have been injured or something. I sat on my ass anyway.
Yeah.
So I had to do like, I went through like 100 hours of like tapes, and you got to sort of be there because. They always seem to like stop or chew up or go tits up or, yeah. So that was quite interesting going through all that stuff and just seeing the carnage.
Yeah.
You were featured a couple of times.
I had some tough days.
There was some interesting stuff.
I had some tough days on bike. yeah. I remember I sent you a lot of tapes, but it was right in the middle of a point where I was trying to learn one particular thing because I wanted about 360 gaps.
Yeah.
And like the whole video is just me trying to 360 any gap I can find.
Yeah.
But that, I think when you get a move stuck in your head, you're knackered then. You've got to just keep going until you've got it how you like it.
Yeah, it's funny because you'd really like got into learning tricks.
Yeah, well, I think because I'd got to the point where I was like, my focus was shows.
Yeah.
And all I ever would think about from a certain point. I don't want to talk about me too much, but to finish that off, I would be thinking how I could use it in a show.
Yeah,
I just wanted stuff in the show.
Yeah,
so I for a clip, for a video clip, great.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I wasn't interested anymore in can I get through this clean. I was like, what can I do to you know make it sort of.
So, yeah, that's another circusy. People. That's another thing that sort of like sometimes comes up or. What I've never, I'd say never, but because I went through a bit of a phase of riding BMX.
Yeah.
So I was like, at that point, I'd probably got as far up the learning tricks tree as I ever did, you know, like doing tail whips and going upside down and doing rail slides and all that jazz and foo-foo-noos and bar spins.
You and Eddie were really, that Eddie Tung I'm talking about, were very instrumental in sort of like creating a street trial scene that was about making things look good.
Yeah.
Rather than measurements.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people were doing street, but they were doing things for as big, they called, you know, TG, what was it? Taps, gaps and side ops, TGS. So that was like the thing, wasn't it? Yeah, you remember the Trials Kings?
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
So TGS was kind of like, I think it was TGS.
I just always used to call it weights and measures.
Yeah, but that's exactly what it was. It was like, how far, big, long, high can they do things? And they did things big, long, high, far and high. But, I mean, Craig Lee Scott particularly was a lunatic.
Yeah.
He's been putting some of his old stuff on Instagram, and it is insane.
Yeah.
His 20-inch riding is like, what? How wasn't that kid bigger than he was? But, yeah, I mean, those... But you and Eddie really took it, like, started doing nice things with it because I guess you were riding BMX and mixing the two things at the time.
Yeah, well, Eddie went away to America, didn't he? And then he come back and then all of a sudden he was just, like, pretty much riding BMX all the time.
Then he was all right.
He was he was pretty good. Yeah. Amazing. Yeah, amazing. He was amazing on it.
He still is. Yeah.
He's annoying. Yeah. He's annoying, that boy. But anyway, yeah. So he started riding BMX and then we lived together. So we were riding BMX all the time together.
Yeah, I didn't realise you got that close, but that's cool.
Yeah, I mean, we were a couple for a little while. Yeah, it was a thing. A lot of people, we don't...
That's a creepy thought.
Yeah. Didn't end so well, so we don't talk about it.
Skim over it. Eddie did spend a bit of time getting the BMX right. So when would that have been? Let's position that. Eddie Tunnell and Chris Hackrigg riding BMX in...
Asking questions now. Yeah.
2000 and...
Well, it was around the time of the Red Bull bike battle in Nottingham. Well, it was exactly that time, whenever that was.
2002, 3, something like that.
Sounds plausible.
I was having something of a sabbatical at the time. That was the first time I broke my back.
That was a funny old day, wasn't it? Because I was on the rolling thing behind you and you were like, right, I'm going to do it and then you come in after me and do it. So that was going to be my first attempt at a backflip because you were telling me how to do it.
Well, I don't know why I was telling you because I didn't know how to do it. So we were at a skate park.
Picked the wrong person.
We were at Newport Skate Park in 2000 and early 2003, I guess it was. I know we'd been riding all day long, and I was just over it. So you guys were still riding, but I was tired. And I thought, I'll jump in the foam pit. I've never done that before.
Yeah.
And I jumped in the foam pit, not being any good at jumps at all anyway. I took off really steep and thought, that's how they must do a backflip.
Yeah.
And then I went back up and had a go, and it did something of a backflip.
Yeah.
And I think that's when everyone went, oh, we'll try some backflips.
Yeah.
And then my next try... didn't go very well.
You went very high, way too high.
And I stalled.
And stayed upside down.
I stalled somewhat.
Yeah, and then there was nowhere near enough foam in that foam bit to do anything at all. There might as well not been a foam bit there, I don't think.
So I folded myself in half.
Shouldn't
have. And spent a few months off.
Yeah.
But I do remember you coming into the foam pit and saying, are you all right? And filming at the same time.
Yeah,
I groaned and you went, hey, he's all right, and walked off.
Yeah, I did.
I
jumped in.
I probably could have done more damage. Yeah, bloody hell. Anyway. He's groaning. He can't be that bad.
Yeah.
Right, we're on injuries, right? Let's talk about your leg. Oh, man, you smashed your leg up.
I did, yeah, pretty badly. But it's one of them, like... It could have been worse, you know?
Like, sure could.
Yeah.
Talk us through the moment. Talk us through the day.
I was just doing this quite a big gap jump with pretty higher than I thought consequences, turns out. And I was trying it one way, like one technique, this big gap over a cliff.
Yeah.
And I tried it like a couple of times, got away with it. And I actually, one of the attempts, I'd slid down and was dangling my legs off this cliff and I looked across and the guy wasn't filming. I was actually laughing going, that was close. So then got back on my bike. This is where you're supposed to stop, kiddies.
Yeah.
Got back on my bike, thought, right, I'm going to completely change my technique, just going to go fast at it and bunny hop. And when I went to bunny hop, the grass did something weird.
Yeah.
And didn't get nowhere near as far as I needed to be. And then started falling. I don't know, for some reason, I just knew that I was going off this cliff.
Yeah.
So I sort of, rather than trying to grapple, which would have probably sent me over backwards off Christ knows, I'd sort of turned into it to see, see where I was going and like try to work out if I could actually do anything.
Yeah.
Turns out you can't do much when it's that high. You know.
Like, when we're talking high, right, let's give everyone an idea. We're talking about, this is on a Yorkshire moor side.
Yeah, outcrop.
Outcrop in, what year would that have been? 2006, 2007.
Eight.
The drop, I'm not joking, we're talking like maybe three stories.
Yeah, it's definitely like a normal, like, two-storey off a roof, maybe a bit more.
Jump. To feet.
Yeah, not very elegant. Well, I actually landed on a rock as well, which didn't help.
You were in Yorkshire.
Yeah, there was rocks, yeah. So, but, yeah, and then, I sort of, like, put my arm out. And it was, like, one of them where, well, you probably, I don't know if you've been in that situation, but, like, I was falling. I wasn't shouting or anything, but then I could feel the acceleration. Like, I was like, this is bad.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, like, if you just jump off something, you don't really get it. But this one was like, it just felt like I was accelerating. Like, I was just
scary.
It was pretty bad. And then, yeah, shattered my wrist, my femur into four pieces. And it come outside of my leg and all sorts of shit.
Man.
It was pretty messy.
And how long, I know you had a long, it took a long time to get back from.
It was basically like, it took a year. I was pretty much getting there after a year. And then I was riding in Austria doing a photo shoot. I'd been to Eurobike and then we'd gone to Austria to do a photo shoot. And been riding all day. And I'd not been pushing my luck, but I'd been, you're getting pulled into getting better feeling on the bike. And so I think we'd had like some dinner or something, and I was like, do you know what? I'm going to take my foot off now. I'm just going to stay at the back of the group. I'm just going to enjoy riding down with, you know, and just because I could feel my leg were getting tired.
Yeah.
Now we're getting tired. And I thought, do you know what? I'm not pushing this today. I'm just going to get through it and just take it as a. I don't think I can't even long off crutches, to be honest. But I mean, you know, it was still bad. It wasn't like, you know. And I was just messing around. Somebody behind me, somebody in front of me had stopped, or they were getting biscuits out. I'm just like, oh, where's my bloody biscuit? Took my eyes off what we're doing, went like into a rut, caught my pedal, f***ingest thing ever, caught my pedal, went over bars, but my, like a comedy crash, slow comedy crash. But my leg got caught in my bike and the bike came over the top of me and twisted my leg. And it just went, because it would, I mean, I had a rod, a femoral nail in there, which is still in now, and it just went, and as soon as it went, I was like,
So you broke your leg around the pole that's in your leg?
Yeah. So it couldn't go anywhere. But
And
I was in Austria. I'd driven to Austria.
Yeah.
So I spent the night there and woke up next day and drove back home from Austria, 24 hours drive home. Put a kettle on, had a cup of sweet tea, and then went down to hospital, got it x-rayed. I made that sound a lot easier than it was. Coming through like the Black Forest.
For some reason, the thought of breaking your leg with a rod in it's worse.
It just meant that it wasn't going
anywhere.
It feels like
trying to put a Cadbury's cream egg back together. I've broken it.
Man, that drive.
The goo's coming out.
Yeah, that drive was miserable.
Oh.
It hurt. Like properly hurt. Yeah.
Why did you drive back? Why didn't you get someone to drive you? Yeah. Yorkshire folk,
ask
I don't
me.
Know.
Who knows?
That's a gnarly score. That is a gnarly story. Driving back with a broken leg. That's nasty.
Yeah.
What is it about everyone in Yorkshire? Why are you all so tough?
It's probably because it's just like harsh all the time, isn't it?
Everyone in Yorkshire is so hard. I remember when I first started riding trials and I went up north for the first time and rode against Yorkshire people, I was like, I'm not doing the same thing. They're doing something. Someone's at my front door.
That's it.
In South Wales. I just remember thinking, I'm not doing the same thing. And there's like that little kid's way harder than me.
Yeah.
It's so tough.
I don't know. Obviously, I won't notice it, but like, yeah, I guess
we're southern pansies. It's just a truism. We've only one thing to defend us. Steve Saunders.
Yeah.
It's all we've got. It's all we've ever had.
Yeah.
How he did it, I don't know. We're going off. You don't know who Steve Saunders is. We're off topic, but he was good, all right?
Yeah, he was good. Yeah. Super good.
I went to see a Hans Ray talk a few years ago.
Yeah.
And I was it was Hans Ray talking. It was brilliant. And I was there with all the guys from GMBN, and it was brilliant. And Steve Jones punched me in the shoulder and tapped me.
Yeah.
I was like, Mark. I was like, what? He's Steve Saunders. And Steve Saunders was sat in the crowd watching. And I was like, oh my God, I couldn't concentrate for the rest of the show.
Do you think he'll be there at your talk?
I'm pretty sure Steve, I wouldn't be able to do it. Yeah, it was amazing. And afterwards, all I could do was just, I've got to talk to Steve Saunders.
Yeah.
Oh, glorious. Sorry, I've gone off topic. If Steve Saunders comes up, I'll always get distracted. Let's talk about your big news.
Have I got big news?
You have got big news, I've Chris Sackrigg. You've got big news. So the Global Bike Festival.
Yeah.
I've landed this, Nick. The Global Bike Festival is happening for the first time this year.
Yeah.
We've been desperate to do it, but lockdown's been getting in our way. It's happening. It's going to be amazing. And I've talked you into going. That guy's still at my front door. I'm not in. I'm trying to do a big announcement here. You're going to be at the Global Bike Festival. Yeah. So everyone who comes and buys a ticket, they can come riding with us.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing.
How funny will it be? I'll be on my bow head. Yeah. And you'll be there doing like sick trials moves, and we'll do like a bit of a cross-country loop, do some downhill in. They can just come along and ride with Chris Sackrigg.
It's going to be so good.
For us to just hang out in that place for a bit, because it's amazing.
Yeah.
I've never been, but I've been told it's brilliant.
I don't think it was the place I brought my leg.
No. It might be.
It's the other side of Leargang, isn't it? Is that right?
Where is it? Nick, where is it?
Salback.
That sounds right.
I wanted to say Sasfay, but it's not. I don't know why I did not.
No, that's a different place for a different totally time, different. No, it's going to be cool. We get out there and find some cool stuff to ride.
I can't
wait. Do a lap.
I think that's what we're going to do. Well, let's decide what we're going to do now on the podcast. We'll decide now, and this is what we'll do.
This is professionalism.
This is how these things are made. We'll go there. Yeah. I figure we go there day early.
Yeah.
Me and you go for a bit of a wander about.
Recce.
That'll be a laugh.
Yeah.
We'll make a loop, and we'll make sure there's a couple of trialsy elements on the way around where we can stop, have buns and coffees. Right, and then
scones.
We'll just scones, and we'll make up this loop, and then we can have say 5-10 riders come with us a couple of times a day. We'll do a loop, stop at those spots, eat the buns, do some trials, do some skills training. Will you ride an e-bike or will you ride a mountain bike? Maybe switcheroo.
To be announced.
I don't know. More hot releases to come, and we'll just have a few days of doing some laps with people and having a good time.
Maybe we could do.
Bit
whatever.
Of both.
Well,
I would like to see you riding, because we're going to get to e-bikes in a moment, but I would like to see you on your e-bike there, because I'm fascinated by it.
Yep. The e-bike's in.
Yes.
On, however we're getting there.
What e-bike are you riding at the moment? What is it?
I've got Force 29.
Force GT, yeah. Force GTE. 29.
Well, it's actually GTE. Force GTE. GTE, yeah.
Mm, I don't like that. Oh. They shouldn't do that.
Well.
Don't mess with the name of the brand. It's a GT.
Electrical.
And then give it a name.
Yeah.
Don't know.
Force.
GT Force.
Yeah.
Tell the people at GT I don't like that.
Okay.
All right. Is his name Nick someone?
No, he's probably not who you need to speak to. I'll tell him that.
Tell him. I don't.
He won't leave.
I don't think he might.
He won't be bothered.
Who? GT Force 29.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
I love it too. I absolutely love it.
They're great.
Yeah.
They're great. Well, I don't want to get to your e-bikes just yet.
I can see you really.
Let's talk about it. We're on it. Let's talk about e-bikes.
Let's.
Because you're in a bit of a tricky situation, right? Because you're uber cool, right? You didn't know that. But you're uber cool as a mountain biker.
I'm learning about myself today.
You're uber cool as a mountain biker, for sure. And everybody in mountain biking who knows what they're talking about is going to go, Chris Sackrigg, he's brilliant. He's great. What an amazing rider. Love what he does. And then you're sort of forced with this problem where you're like, forced to ride e-bikes a bit. Turns out it's just the perfect thing for Chris Sackrigg because it suits your riding so much. I love it.
Do you know what?
And now you've got haters.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I won't go as far as to say people hate it.
I
think there's people who've got opinions that don't like.
For this
like...
conversation, I'm saying haters.
All right,
then. They hate.
Yeah, there is haters.
There is. I thought that.
I just think it's a completely different thing. I choose to ride that bike. Like it's not like I've seen a thing that Danny Mack had done with Steve Jones.
Yeah.
And he said exactly the same thing. Like
He loves
GT like me riding an e-bike, you know. But probably not as much as I like riding it. Yeah. And definitely not.
They are the best. Yeah. I love them.
Yeah, it's just a different thing. Like we talked about, like the fixies earlier. Mm. That's a fixie. I've ridden downhill bikes. It's a downhill bike.
Yeah.
You know, enduro bikes, whatever. So the gravel bikes, cyclocross bikes. you know, it's just a different thing. Yeah. You know, that's all it is. And for me, as much as anything, you know, I've been riding a long time, and that's just like, it's just opened up doing things differently, not necessarily bigger, whatever. It's not it hasn't like reinvented the wheel. It's just added a little power to it. You still need to be able to apply it. You can be the strongest person in the world and not be able to climb up a hill if you can't apply it.
Yeah, right.
And like, if you've got a motor, you still need to be able to apply it and the extra weight and stuff. Mm. So like, if people are saying, oh, it's easy, it's doing this, it's doing that.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it might be if you jump on one, put it into boost and ride up a steep hill.
Yeah.
You know, that's whatever it is. But then if you try to do like tech stuff, it's learning how to like get that power down, how to deal with the extra weight.
Yeah.
You know, there is a lot of like gear choice, power choice. And I find it quite interesting. I mean,
as you're saying that, I'm just thinking of this Global Bike Festival, thinking it would be amazing for someone to come on their e-bike, wouldn't it, and ride with Chris, and him be saying, think about your e-bike like this. You'd think about it in a totally different way, man. You'd go, oh my God, he said do this, and suddenly I'm way better at it.
Yeah, like when you were saying earlier on about like how I set my bike up and have to change things like that, I've probably learned more since started riding the e-bike, because, you know, you've got to set your suspension up differently because obviously the extra weight there.
Yeah.
But then, like, I say, like, I run mine really soft.
Mm. Your suspension really soft.
Yeah, yeah. Just because of the stuff that I ride.
Yeah.
Like, I find that really helps, to the point of where if I go for a sort of normal bike ride, which is very rare, you know, if I jump off something, I've got to be a little bit careful how high I go, because it's pretty soft, yeah. I mean, I have to think about it, like, sometimes. Mm.
And why would you set it up so soft? Just because
just because it grips for me. Like, I just find that it grips. And I think that was, like, EXT sent me a setup, and I just sort of went with it. So whether that was just them being amazing at what they do, and me just, like, learning and just thinking.
So who are they?
EXT, Extreme Shock.
Yeah.
So
just explain that a little bit. So they look just after your shocks.
They're that's who supply it.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Mojo.
The old Mojo guys. Yeah. I know. Well, not the old Mojo guys.
No, sorry, not Mojo.
Cut that bit. I prefer Mojo Rising.
Yeah, Mojo Rising, that's what I was getting at.
Oh, is that who you're with?
Yes.
Oh, great, okay. I thought you meant you were with the other guys who are not... but actually, they're nice guys too, so I don't want to... But Mojo Rising are the...
Yes.
They're the daddies.
Yeah, and it's just being able to, like, getting set up guys, and like, I just like ride it soft, because at the moment through winter, like, I'm not, you know,
grip is
just
a minimum.
Just grips just so good.
That's fascinating.
But
we should definitely do some e-bike stuff.
There's
the festival for sure.
Like I was saying, I probably like set that bike up more than any other, really. So, but yeah, back to the point. Yeah, I love it.
I was thinking you've got haters, but then as you were explaining, I was like, you've survived fixies, e-bikes. E-bikes are not going to be a problem.
Yeah, you know what? Generally, I get like good comments and stuff, and I think even with the e-bike stuff, like, if people know what they're talking about, they still realise that, you know, I still feel like, for me, I know what's hard and what's not. The stuff that I do is, like, frustratingly, sometimes it won't come across as how hard it actually is. But that's, it's there. You know, I do what I do. I can't change it who I am, you know. I've been doing it for a long time.
I've realised today that you've gone and got old. To me, you've always been an 18-year-old baby-faced kid.
Yeah.
You're still quite baby-faced. But
I've got a 2-year-old daughter, and she's just going into terrible twos. And I don't feel very...
Does us all
don't
in,
feel
man.
Very it's hitting hard.
kids are, it's crazy.
Best of
you look at
thing.
Your parents in a different way, don't you? Go, God, I didn't realise you were amazing.
Yeah,
yeah. I had no idea. I've lived really an amazing
hard,
person.
It's really hard, but amazing. Yeah, she's amazing.
It's great times. Great times. They go quick.
Yeah.
They go bloody quick.
Yeah.
Nice. On the Dirt Shed show this week, we have been talking about, can the sort of modern mountain bike, think of any, like, we were using an Orbea Ockham that Doddy and Neil have both built up at the moment as a kind of benchmark, a really nice, expensive, full carbon, full suspension mountain bike. Mm. Like, as the guy, can a bike like that really live up to the sort of bikes? I was at Trailhead Cycles the other day, and they had this beautiful Klein on the wall, Klein Attitude.
Oh, yeah.
In Gator Fade.
I saw that.
It was... Yeah. I was like, man, look at that bike. Can a bike really... I don't think they can, right? I don't think in 30 years you're going to have an Orbea Ockham hung on the wall and go, wow. You're going to go, like, there's a big piece of plastic on your wall.
Yeah.
Like, but I was thinking... Well, what do you think about that to start off with? Like, there's an era of mountain biking that's to be celebrated almost through the bikes as art.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's for me, that's what I used to look at in magazines and just think...
Yeah, like, wow.
There's just some... I'm into classic stuff anyway. Yeah. Classic motorbikes, classic cars. Mm. So that stuff plays into me. Like, you know, I love all that old stuff. You know, I'm not really, like... I just don't really... Like, even my trials bike's old. You know, I don't like... Yeah. I'm not a massive fan of new stuff. I don't know why.
But
yeah, I mean, obviously, I like the bikes that I'm on now.
Yeah,
but I'm not a, like, I'm not a bike pervert where I'll be going looking at all stuff. But like, the one thing when I went to Malvern's, they had all the retro bikes there.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, they could have had all the brand new bikes,
you
like,
you
know,
twice. Yeah.
And I'd have just gone straight there and just gone, ah. But I don't know whether that's just because we're older. We just go, I remember them. They were shit. I remember them. They were all right. Remember when they came out? They were supposed to be amazing.
Good. But I think I guess what's quite interesting now is I think we are at another moment in mountain biking right now. This is just a personal opinion.
Yeah.
I think that those bikes are celebrated because they were clearly at the dawning of a sport.
Yeah.
And a style and a trend. So we have got this nostalgic view of them and they are kind of iconic bikes. But I think we're at another dawning in mountain biking now, whether we like it or not, where the technology of e-bikes...
Yeah.
E-bikes have very quickly moved from being... e-bikes and mountain biking to you can now be out on a trail and someone who doesn't know what you're doing comes over and says, oh, do you mountain bike? They don't care what it is. The new thing is e-bikes, and maybe we will look back at 30 years at the very early e-bikes as where it went from here.
Yeah,
because this is where it's changing. And I wonder, what do you think of that? Do you think we're at the maybe we're at the start of something completely new? Do you look at it like that?
Not until you said it then. Mm. Do you know what? It's not that I bury my head in my sand. I don't keep really up to date with everything. Mm. I don't go chasing the latest videos. I'm not on these websites all the time, seeing what other people are doing. I just sort of do my own thing, you know? But yeah, the e-bike for me is like, I think when I first got one, I rode, the first one I rode was a Cannondale, I think.
Mm.
I can't remember what model it was.
Nice just, bikes.
Yeah, I just...
Let's just think about that for a second.
This was one of the first ones though, and I can't remember, but it was a bit like, obviously, like, you know, from them till now even.
It's a long
come a
long way.
And I think the first thing I said, these are going to be amazing when they sort them out.
Yeah.
And I mean, it wasn't that, it was obviously, you know, the weight is obviously apparent, you know, and that must have been one of the earlier motors, which obviously aren't as good as they are now.
Yeah.
So they're only going to get better and lighter from now. So, I mean, I don't know, like, if you said to me, what would be the ideal, what would you want if you sort of like, you know.
It's hard to pick between them at the moment, but...
You need to.
The thing is, the other day, I watched that Three Peaks video of Rob's, which is brilliant. Rob Warner's Three Peaks video. It's such a bloody good video, that. You learn so much about, like, if anyone's not seen that,
you should watch it.
You literally learn who Rob Warner is in 3 minutes. You feel like you've spent an hour with him. Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah. I think he has that effect, though.
Yeah, you know you've met him. You definitely know. God, thank God for Rob Warner. He's amazing.
Yeah.
In that video, I can imagine being a I've never come across mountain biking before.
Yeah.
And I discover that video and go, oh, wow. Like you would have done when you first saw mountain bikes.
Yeah.
You'd like, I'd love a bike that got me up there.
Yeah.
And you can see this bike taking Rob up somewhere he just wouldn't go anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's getting to this place and it's like the discovery of mountain bikes is suddenly new again.
Yeah, that's what I think that's what, in a way, I mean, I've not stopped and started.
Mm.
You know, like, I'm just always like, I just...
Mm. Just I'm just weird the whole time.
Just weird as hell. All the time. But I think, like, even for me, it sort of opened up different doors.
Yeah.
So, like I was saying, you know, like, locally, found a place that I've not really...
Yeah.
Because I probably just wouldn't... Not because I wouldn't have bothered, not because I'm lazy or unfit. It's just because, right, I can do it. I don't need to think... Am I going to do it, aren't I? No, I'm going to do it. Just do it today.
Yeah,
no, I'm going
there.
Sort of thing. And I think like it does open up. It gets people out. But then some people say, well, it's not doing them as much good as if they were like, you know, physically, if they were on a normal bike. But then they probably just wouldn't bother going out because they couldn't be arsed with it. If there's people coming into the sport, they jump on them and they can pick how hard it is, you know. I mean, you can on a normal bike, but I think if somebody went out, say if, like, I had a friend that didn't ride, and I took them out on a ride, like with me on a normal bike, they'd be just probably like, I'm not doing that again. Do you know what I mean? Not because I'd gone out and smashed them or whatever, just because they had, I don't know. It's one of them, innit? I can see why it's just all over. I enjoy doing it, so I'm going to carry on doing it. And probably more.
I think people feel like they can love them now. I feel like there was a period where if you said you were on an e-bike, people were like, ooh. What are you doing? Riding e-bikes. But now I think I'm going to be on EMBN at this rate. I've got to be careful. I have Steve Jones will be my boss. I mean, shut up.
Imagine that.
I see him being people's boss, and it's not something I want to. I don't want to go down that road.
Not really.
So here's a question for you regarding e-bikes.
Go on.
Why isn't e-bike trials a thing yet? It's like they're. They've invented a tool and they're not doing what it's designed for. E-bike trials would be the... I want to say be the shit, but I'm too old to do it.
Yeah, don't say that.
I would be cool.
I think there's something in it. I've definitely been talking to a couple of people about it. Like,
it's got
to
happen.
Yeah, it will happen, I think. It's... Yeah, it'd be cool. I think, it would be cool.
It would be brilliant.
Yeah.
I tell you, it'd be really good. Steve Jones on EMBN.
Yeah.
He's good.
He can ride.
He can ride, man.
It took a bit for me to get him caught out when he came up to ours.
Sorry, Steve. I'm not going to say it's like the most elegant riding, and especially when he's wearing his wellies, but he can ride. I mean, he's got form on a motorbike trials as well.
Yeah.
So.
No, he can ride. Yeah. I was sort of like mildly impressed, actually, when he came up to ours.
But e-bike trials...
Yeah.
I mean, the most fun thing to watch at the EWSE rounds was the climb.
The uphill bit.
And I said, I was talking to Doddy about this, and he was saying, I was laughing watching these guys go up this climb. And he was like, why is it funny? I was like, if Chris rode up there, do you think he'd be sat down? They're all sat down. I was like, can you imagine Chris riding up there sat down?
Don't start getting into anything.
Like... It was crazy. I was like, he'd ride up there. And they're like, they couldn't get up it. I was like, he could get up it.
Was that the slippery one?
The slippery one. I thought, oh, mate, you'd be all over
that. Looked all right, didn't it?
That looked nice.
Looked fun.
Their line choice was weird. But the thing is, when you sat down, you're an injured Bambi straight away because the front, you can't do anything with the front end. It's not going to hold you anywhere. There's no weight on it.
Yeah. It's a funny one. Like, when I was...
I mean, you've got to keep the weight on the back end too, but...
Yeah, it's a funny one because you can get up, like, some pretty steep things with that extra power. You do really need to, like, think about where your weight is a lot more than on a normal bike.
Yeah.
Because you're obviously, like, you know, you're just going to loop out or it's just going to put weight where it don't need to be. You've got to...
The more I talk to you about e-bikes, the more I'm just like, I want to go on an Chris Akrick e-bike training holiday. That's what I want.
That could happen.
It's like, if I pay you enough, you'll do it.
I'm signed up.
Man, well, the festival is happening.
Yeah.
But I just think you've probably got an outlook on e-bikes that's just desperately needed. Because no one can ride one better than you. I think there's people who could do things on it and be cool.
Yeah.
There's going to be trials idiots that do things that don't belong on e-bikes.
Yeah.
There's going to be downers that say they're better at going around corners because they've got a bit of extra weight. And I'm like, but there's things that bike can do that if we focus on it, would be a new thing.
Yeah, I think it's...
I'm maybe talking nonsense.
I think what you can do with them, there's things that you can do in them, not that you couldn't do on a normal bike, because that's untrue.
Yeah.
You could do it, but it'd be just done in a different way.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
Yeah, there's a new approach.
There's doors that open, like every different bike, you know?
Yeah.
It's just like, I don't know. I absolutely love them, and I think it's only going to get better and better, because the bikes are going to get better, they're going to get lighter. You know, and then everything about them is going to get better.
I mean, the motors are just so much better than I think. You know, there's obviously they're not perfect yet, but there's going to be serious advance on those as well.
Yeah.
Where do they need to advance more? Is it in the motor or is it the battery weight?
I think it's just a combination of it all and how it all works with each other. You know, I think the weight. Weight's always an issue, isn't it, with anything.
Yeah.
You know, it's, and they are, a good lump heavier than a normal bike.
Yeah.
But, and then obviously, you get the motor running a bit better. I mean, to be fair, I absolutely love my bike as it is now.
Yeah.
So,
What would you give if it? Would you need it to be a bit more powerful or a bit quicker response, or is it lighter? What would you give if you could do one thing?
I think the weight. For me, I think if that weight came down a little bit.
Yeah.
So I'm running the bigger battery as well at the moment in my bond.
You know you could do that.
Go on.
Take that E off. GTE. You don't need it. Get rid of that. Yeah. That's lighter straight away.
Yeah.
Because that shouldn't be there. I'm telling you. I'm getting my own e-bike soon.
Yeah.
I am getting an e-bike. My first e-bike ever. Actually, I suppose it's a random tandem, sort of an e-bike. We haven't been on a random tandem.
Yeah, I was waiting for the call. Mate, I was sort of waiting for
we
it.
Did talk, thought, no, we did talk about it.
Yeah,
though,
I was sort of waiting for it and then thinking, will
I answer? Do I really want to get on that thing?
Yeah, I don't know. That just feels
You have to be careful.
Like,
I've roped you into some videos. I think that me and you on a random tandem would be funny. Yeah. We should do a random tandem ascent edition. We'll just see what you can get me up.
Yeah. Has that got a motor on that thing?
Oh, yeah, boy, has it.
Has it?
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds brilliant.
It's a great bike, but I hadn't thought about, what can I get up? No, what can Chris Akrig get me up? Low speed, high risk.
Yeah, I'm down for that.
Woo!
Yeah.
Hey, we've got to make that video. That'd be amazing. Let's do it. It's being built up at the moment.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, because me and Rich wanted to go for a bit of a ride on it. So it's being. I want to bring it back.
Yeah.
It sort of died a death. We did a great video with Rob on it, which was a dream come true. And then we did a bit with Danny.
Yeah.
That was brilliant. And then we took over to Canada and rode with Brett Tippy, which as an experience and as a guy was brilliant. But he's obviously not as well known here. And it sort of chugged along a little bit. So it sort of needs a little bit of a reboot.
Yeah.
So me and Rich are going to take it out because Rich hasn't... Rich is one of our presenters you've probably met along the way. But he hasn't ridden it yet. But then maybe the next proper vid could be let's take it out.
Just needs a bash plate on, doesn't it?
It might need a bash plate. Yeah. It needs a lot on it. But it's already got a lot on it. Yeah. Like, as in, I'm at the front. And I don't really know where to point the thing.
Yeah.
It's a strange experience because when you go into the corner, you don't go into corners like that. You go into corners like a bus.
I've ridden the tandem a long, long time ago, but it didn't have an idiot on front of it.
No.
I think I might have been the idiot on the front.
Well, this is going to be different for you. Yeah. Boy. Now you'll be like, oh, that's the line. This kid's good.
I've missed this all these years.
That's where all them British championships went. You're on the wrong line.
How many did you get?
Oh, we didn't need to talk about that. Not as many as you, Christopher. Not as many as you. How many did you get?
I thought it was six.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot. Not going to lie.
It was five or six. I say six because I'm going to do.
Don't push me on this, right, because I can ruin it. Don't push me on it. You got more. Leave it there.
Yeah. Did you get four?
I don't know, but I wasn't at any of your six. Let's leave it at that.
That's a bit unrandom, isn't it?
It's the only thing I've got. I've got to hang on, all right? We had, me and Chris had quite the run, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
I'm talking 10 years of trials, no one else.
Yeah.
Get f***ed.
Yeah, yeah, basically, yeah.
It's great. What a time. Yeah, anyway, that's good for, fun, that's for another day.
And that day in Belgium, when it absolutely pulled your pants down.
What a way to say it. You beat me by two.
I'd go with two because it was actually one.
Was it? Yeah. Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, 49 and 50. It's still in my mum and dad's fridge now.
That's ridiculous.
I nicked the things off the end of the competition.
So back in the day in World Bike Trials, they had, particularly at this Belgium round, there was a really famous guy called, what was his name, Bernie or someone like that? He was the guy who did all the motorbike trials results, wasn't he?
Yeah.
So he had a magnetic board. So when your score came in, he'd write it on this magnetic strip and put it on the board. Then he could move people around as the positions changed. So it made the end of the trial quite exciting. And me and Chris and Chris's dad, it was quite a combination, I can tell you, right? Rode round the trial together. We were taking it serious. We were taking it serious, but always. We probably were having quite a good time with it because your dad and you were like a bit of banter.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they're quite unkind to the competitor that's with, like, you guys were giving me some shit.
I don't know, as far as Scott says.
They were pushing me, his dad laughs. When you make a mistake, his dad audibly laughs.
Psychological.
It's over. You're like, oh, Jesus Christ.
They call it psychological warfare, Martin.
Yeah, psychological warfare, it sure was. And then at the end of the day, Chris had beaten me, and he's kept it as a trophy ever since.
Yeah.
Which just makes you the loser in this. I don't know how that's true. Anyway.
It was a good day, though.
It was a great day. It was one of my favourite world bike trials. It was a brilliant day. And that was the day where Horsey had the crazy feet.
Belgian wobbles.
Oh, it scared me. I was like, he's going to hop onto the back wheel. I don't know where he's going to go. It's terrifying.
I'm editing myself cackling away.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Anyway,
yeah, that's trials talk for a very small group, that little bit of the audience, bit of the talk. Brakeless trials.
Mm.
That's something we haven't mentioned.
Yeah.
You had a whole period where you're like, I don't use brakes anymore. I don't use brakes anymore.
What that was, where that sort of came about was, I was coming back from injury. And I was like, I can't remember what I'd done, whatever it was. And obviously the bike that I had at the time was just like a real basic steel frame.
Yeah.
Pardon me. Probably like the Gurus or whatever. I can't remember. I think we were just running, whatever, you know, at that point. And I was coming back from injury. I just couldn't get motivated. Like, there was just, I was struggling with motivation to really get back on. I think it's because I'd got into climbing quite heavily at the time before I got injured.
As in rock climbing?
And rock climbing, yeah, like bouldering. And I really got into that to the point where I was just like, not riding that much. Mm. I'm just really struggling to get motivation to start riding again. Mm. So I was like, I need to do something to like spice it up a little bit. So I just thought, take brakes off.
That'll do it.
And I learned so much more than I actually thought I ever, like, it got me back in it. Like, it was just sort of like a bit of a, see what that's like.
Yeah.
And then you learn so much about like how to like scrub speed, how to get speed out and off in.
Yeah.
And it was, quite an interesting experience.
But it ended up lasting a little while.
Yeah. Well, I dedicated myself to it because I filed all bosses off my bike and everything.
We're not talking, I'm going to stop using my brakes. We're talking, let's take brakes off the bike. They're not on here now.
I took
this
them off.
Lighter, no brakes.
Yeah.
And then spent, I would say, how long do you reckon? A season.
I think I had two bikes set up because I was riding comps as well.
Yeah.
So I had two. I had one set up with brakes on just for comps.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say you did a comp with no brakes then. That wouldn't work, would it?
No.
Not really.
So, no. But yeah, there's a couple of videos like on
They're good videos.
YouTube.
Good.
It goes wrong quite quick though.
I've got to be honest, when you went brakeless, a few other people tried it and I remember I was building up a bike and I thought, and it was mid-build, and I was like, oh, I wonder what it's like. I'll have a go.
Yeah.
and I rode 20 yards. I was like, no, I'm not into this. This isn't. I need brakes.
Yeah.
I need brakes.
Yeah.
Sure.
It's interesting when you get it like out into the wild. Yeah, like, you know, like a test around the car park is like eye open.
That stopped me.
Yeah. And then when you get it out into wild and then, yeah. It's
bloody hell.
Yeah, it's a learning curve.
Mm. I mean, we're talking about riding like Shipley Glen.
Yeah, proper stuff, yeah. Yeah.
Which is still the training ground of the current World Trials Champion.
I might have even got a cover of Dirt magazine on my brakeless bike.
Sounds like the sort of sucky up thing Dirt would do to try and be cool.
And I was doing something on the edge of this cliff and for that, and it all went wrong and I broke my finger. Like doing
nice.
This fucking
nice.
Geordie Tarras turn. On the edge of this like cliff,
and mate, Geordie Tarras turns. Don't distract me. No. Don't distract me on trials. So with that in mind, you've done brakeless. And this is a request from someone upstairs. I don't want to even mention his name because he'll be so buzzed that I did. This is a recommendation and a request from Toff upstairs. Who is our, I don't know if you've ever seen the Dirt Shed Show through to the news, but Toff does our sickest thing of the week. He's also our audience development expert upstairs. Really? And he...
Were we talking about this? People just making jobs up earlier on, weren't we?
Yeah, he certainly made this one up. But he's a wicked guy. He's a wicked guy. Good. He can do some cool little street jibs, actually. And he wants to know, when's the next proper street trials video coming out? When are you going to do a proper trials edit? Whether it be a brakeless one, but a trials bike, like a Chris Ackrig trials bike.
Oh.
When are we going to see that again? Rigid, 26 or 24, something like that.
I don't think it'd be 24. I've given them bikes a go and just don't get on with them. Even back in the day when you made one.
Yeah, thanks for that. I bought them in whatever. Just dissed my whole. That was my whole design thesis.
Just wasn't.
It worked because I put Eddie Tongue on him, so it looked good.
Yeah, he could make.
But he could make literally an ice lolly look good. Yeah.
He could, yeah. Oh God, he does.
Let's get on from that.
I don't know. It's. Do you know what my wife Gemma always goes on about? Oh, you should do some. You know, like because she's. Never really seen me ride. She seen me ride street like once ages ago, and she was like, "You should ride street again. People want it." Like, and I'm just like, I really enjoy doing what I do now. Like, I really enjoy what I do.
Yeah,
and sometimes it's like, well, I could ride a street bike or a trials bike, but I don't think I want to spend that much time. To the point of where I'd be happy with filming.
Someone's at the door.
But that it's like I'd need to put a lot of time into it to make me feel good enough to be bothered about doing it.
There's something about leaving them wanting, isn't there?
You know,
most famous videos is one that no one's seen.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's like, talk about leaving them wanting. A few people saw it, but you made a video. Tell us about that. That's crazy.
Yeah, that was one of them where we didn't really think what we were doing was ridiculously bad or anything. We just basically went to a lot of nice places in Wales and filmed some pretty decent riding.
Really nice.
Yeah, I put a lot of time and effort into that video, to be honest. We filmed a lot of stuff. We got it out there. It went pretty mental. Probably faster than any of my videos have ever gone.
Yeah.
And then somebody from Visit Wales or something like that was... No, sorry. Visit Wales had it on their website.
Yeah.
Like, look at this in a good light. Like, putting it like, oh, you know, this is showing our country off in the most beautiful way and everything, like all that jazz.
They're stoked on it.
Yeah. Mm. And then I think it was something to do with a guy from, like, some locations guy. But, like, he did all the stuff for, like, Doctor Who and Batman and shit like that. Big. They've probably got bigger budgets than me.
A little bit bigger.
And I don't really know what he wanted. He was just like really like, you need to take this video down. It's like you, I don't know. He didn't even mention anything about like, oh, you have to pay for these things. We'd just gone to some really nice places and some of them were obviously like a little bit hot. Looking back on it now, we were thinking, yeah, maybe we shouldn't have not damaged anything or anything like that. It's not like we're going like and clubbing otters or anything, you know, like that. We just went to some really nice places. And
that's a different video, really.
It is, yeah. I mean, it's more of a niche thing. But, you know, it's there if you want it. But it would, it was just a massive headache.
Mm.
And it got to the point where, you know, they were going to bring, you know, RSPB in and all sorts of stuff.
Mm.
And it's like, well, we've not done any damage.
Yeah.
Only, no more damage than any other mountain biker does, you know, which there are a lot of mountain bikers riding in Wales.
There are a few.
And it's, we were just one of them.
Yeah.
You know, but we just happened to have a camera with us.
Yeah.
So they were just out for blood and they wanted it down. And
so how long was it up for?
24 hours,
so,
I think.
So what's the name of the video? It's...
I can't remember, Matt.
Was it... What was it called?
Water Cycle.
Water Cycle.
Yeah.
It was Water Cycle. Yeah. And it was up for...
I think it was... He was like... The guy was like wanting it taken down. So yeah. I was chatting to some people that I knew and I was like, what is the sort of worst possible thing? I thought, do you know what? It's mountain biking. It's a video and I want to make more videos.
Yeah.
And I can't be arsed with...
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, if you don't take it down, we'll do this and do that. And he was only like...
Fine you or something.
Yeah, yeah, whatever it would be. You know, and it was like, it's just not worth it because other people are trying to do the same.
Yeah.
And what I don't want is like, it's to all blow up and then it would just like, oh, bloody hell.
You're the bloke
who... Who bloody did this and caused all this. We went into it like, maybe a little bit naively.
Yeah.
You know, but then it's like, as soon as they said, like, this guy said, you need to take it down. And... I did it straight away. Just thought, no, I can't be arsed. Just take it down. It's, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just, it's all right. I've only just spent X amount of time doing it. But I just took it down. Then he got back in touch with me and said, you need to take it down. I'm just like, it's the internet.
Mm.
What do you want me to do? Do you know what I mean? You know, I had to like send a lot of emails to people and get them to just go, oh, we're just in a bit of hot water at the moment. Can you just sort of like take it down and not put it back up? And but that's when you realise and you put some out on the internet, you're not getting it back.
No.
It's gone.
So that video was up and then... So can you see it anywhere anymore?
I don't know. If you search it, you could probably find it.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's been...
Maybe you shouldn't do that, people. Maybe don't do that. Just get Chris in trouble.
Yeah, it was a bit of a funny one, really, at the time.
But it is good. It's really good. It's good.
It's annoying. It was annoying and people have said, I should put it back up and all this. And I was like... No,
it's really good.
Can't be bothered. You know, like, what is the point? Like, it's...
Yeah.
I've done other stuff, you know, and it's just... You live and learn, don't you?
You do.
We didn't set out in anywhere to, like, you know, cause any problems. I mean, straight away, as soon as we even knew there was an issue, we were just like, right, okay, we took it straight back. Like, literally took it straight down.
It's a shame, but I'm sure there's lots of great videos to come, so I'm not that worried. What do you think about the riders who are making the big videos of the day that... Fabio Wibb. I mean, Fabio's he's a ridiculously good rider.
Yeah.
Like, there's like nothing he can't do.
Yeah.
And he seems to be able to do everything with the style of the sport he's trying to do. So he can do downhill like a downhill. He can do free riding like a free rider. He can trials ride like Danny Mac.
Yeah.
He's always things. What do you think of a rider like that? I know you'd say you think he's brilliant, but I guess my question is, what do you think a rider like him is faced with when they are setting these video limits each time? I mean, where does someone... Because you've been there, you've done a video, it's been massive, and then gone, like, what the hell am I going to do now?
Yeah.
Like, what is someone like that faced with? He's got 5 million people on YouTube going, where's the next one, mate? Send it, please. What does he do?
I don't know. Honestly, that is massive. Yeah, that is massive. I mean, the thing, like, I've been doing it for a long time. Like, I dread to think how long I've actually been putting videos out for.
Yeah.
Like, back in the days when it was, like, podcasts, you know, like, proper...
Yeah.
From, you know, like, really sort of early stuff. I don't even know what that'd be. But, yeah, it's a long time ago. And I feel like, as long as I feel I'm happy with my riding and the filming, like, that's...
That's enough.
That's... Yeah.
Yeah.
But then obviously, I do want to do better. There's no point just like, you know.
But I think your riding, you've got an advantage there because your riding's engrossing. So I don't think people are coming to your riding for a double flip. They're coming to your riding.
Definitely not.
Not intentionally. Anyway.
No.
They're coming to your riding because they can really get lost in it. They can be like, oh, look at that. And oh, that was nice. And oh, hang on, is he switch pedal there? Or like lots of interesting stuff. And as a rider who maybe doesn't know as much about the sport, you might be coming to it of just like, everyone said it's great.
Yeah.
But whereas someone like Fabio, I'm not saying I don't think he can do it, because he's every video he's done so far,
yeah,
I've gone,
I think he can pretty much
what?
Do everything. Yeah.
You know, the last video, he dropped the biggest set of stairs I've seen anyone drop. He just
he's
ridiculous.
Just a couple, isn't he?
Yeah, he's... Yeah. I just don't know what the pressure must be like. Danny runs it in a really clever way.
Yeah.
Because he manages to stay quite childlike with his view of the next video. He's like, he's just going to... Oh, I've got a great idea and I'm going to do it. Yeah. It's going to... Red Bull, it's going to cost you £1 million, but I'm going to do it. Yeah. And he's enjoying the ideas. But Fabio's gone very... Because he's basically, I guess, had to try and outpace Danny.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know what's... I don't know what they can do next, but what's scary is there's a kid coming. We don't know his name, but he's doing it right now and he's coming for them and he will beat them. We're going to get to watch a video. Because you think it'll never happen.
I'm glad I'm not.
There'll never be a kid better than Chris Ackroyd. There'll never be a kid better than Danny Mac. You would definitely have said there's never going to be a guy who can make a video better than Danny Mac. And then a Fabio Wibner comes along who literally just wanted to be Danny Mac.
Yeah.
He copied him exactly and then did a video even bigger.
Yeah.
There's a kid coming right now. He's out there practicing. Yeah. We don't know who he is. And he's going to do a video and we're all going to go, who's that?
Yeah.
And what? Who told him he could do it like that? That is crazy.
Yeah, it's funny. It's funny.
It's crazy how the progression of the
these
sport.
Young kids.
Oh, I don't know.
Crazy kids.
I think that is a pretty good place to round it up. I just want one more question. What do you think is your biggest achievement? As a trials rider, mountain bike rider, fixie, brakeless, climbing man.
Still riding, probably.
Is that what it is?
Probably, yeah. Still, do you know what? I'm like, it's really funny because... it's like I've been quite a long career, if you want to call it that.
Mm.
But like, there's always seems to be like something that just sort of perks me back up again.
Mm.
And like, you know, it was doing whatever.
Yeah.
And obviously, like the e-bike stuff now just happened, and it's perked me back up again.
Mm.
And it's like what Rob said in that Shimano video.
Yeah.
It was like he's really sort of fallen in love with riding again.
Yeah.
Not that I'd fallen out of love with it, because I have done in the past. There's been times I've just thought, oh, is this what it feels like? Is this the time to like,
yeah,
you know?
Right. Yeah.
Sack it off and go and do something else, which I don't know what that would be.
Yeah.
But like, I still feel like I enjoy riding my bike still. And I think that's like, that feels like quite an achievement to keep it going for that amount of time.
To be riding mountain bike professionally at, don't want to say your age, 40...
and a bit.
You're 18, but 40. You're 40 and
I'd go 40 plus VAT.
40 plus VAT, a good way to say it, and to still be a pro bike rider. There's not many of you out there.
No.
It's pretty good.
No. Stevie's retired now, isn't he?
Beat him.
Yeah.
Finally.
Was Hans Ray still going?
Bloody Hans Ray. He never gives up. He never gives up.
Teammate now.
Christopher Ackroyd. Thanks very much.
Thank you. It's been
good fun, isn't it?